Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone. This is Live Events. In the dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled by the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight? The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVMTOR, ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knott.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madame and messieurs, boys and girls, and mes enfants. Welcome to another edition
of the Night Zone.
I am your host, Colin Knight.
Have you locked your doors? Are your windows secured? Are you alone?
Tonight, we have a returning guest, Anne Bollinger McWade, author of Cloudspeak, Oracles in the Sky.
As a child growing up in Kansas, Anne Bollinger McWade of Native American ancestry accepted her family's psychic gifts as normal life. She took for granted her family's innate comfort, the supernatural. Anne grew up in a world filled with metaphor and meaning, a world that became the basis for her passion and her life's work. Grateful for her paternal great-grandmother's Native American influence that she has come to realize is ingrained in every part of her being. The idea of ancestral imprints occurred to her after a series of personal events sent her hurtling into what she describes as an invisible moving sidewalk, and believes that at certain times we all land on such sidewalks, which carries us to a certain destination, and her sidewalk transported her to a place and destiny. Anne Bollinger McWade, tonight, in the Shadows of the Night Zone. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered. We remind all of our listeners, KVMTOR, your host, Colin Knight.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madam and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of The Night Zone. It is Tuesday, March the 2nd, 2010. Tonight, a returning guest, Anne Bollinger McWade, bringing her experience of oracles in the sky and her special brand of information, which Anne penned into the book, Cloudspeak, Oracles in the Sky. Tonight, we give a special shout-out to a couple of new listeners that are online tonight from Cranbrook, British Columbia, a young lady by the name of Arlene, and from Calgary, Alberta, a young lady by the name of Heather. Welcome aboard. Welcome as the new members of the Night Zone. It's great to have you here. And on the line with us tonight, hopefully, if blogtalkradio.com are behaving themselves, we have with us Anne Bollinger McWade. Good evening, Anne. I'm hoping you are out and about there somewhere.
Good evening. I'm definitely here.
Well, they are. Welcome back to the Night Zone, Anne. It's really good to have you back.
Oh, thank you. It's just my pleasure to be back.
Well, you have definitely become a favorite on the number of the Blog Talk radio shows. That pleases me greatly. Your information is being circulated out there, so it is important for our listeners to understand what you bring to the average citizens and how it can help in our everyday life. The last time you were with us, Anne, we focused on your book and information within it. Tonight, I would like to dig a little deeper into our connections with that universal energy we previously spoke about and the tools that we have to guide us through the life. How does that sound?
Oh, that sounds perfect. Exactly what I would love to do.
Excellent. For those who have not heard Anne speak before, we do invite you to check out the information. Simply Google Oracles in the Sky or Anne Bollinger McQuaid. Now, Anne, for our listeners who have not heard your information before, in a nutshell, what is a personal oracle?
Well, I coined the term personal oracle just to describe something that happens with all of us when we are tuned into it. And personal oracles are mysterious messages that speak to us through every form imaginable, and they offer guidance and support. And they also, if you go a little deeper, once you, and we'll talk about exactly what those are, but they also will illuminate the interconnections that exist within our universe. So once we start to look at personal oracles and see where they are in our life, makes us realize that we are connected to each other, to everything in the world, and it just makes us realize that we're safer and that we're not alone. So I think that that's one reason that people find this topic so popular, because we have these things happen. All we have to do is talk about it. I'd like to give an example to your listeners so that this doesn't just sound like it's so obscure. A very simple one that I think most of us who drive have experienced. You'll be driving along in traffic, and in fact, you could be riding with someone, and all of a sudden you have this sense that the person next to you is going to change lanes just out of nowhere. And then they change lanes just before, you know, just after you think that. Now, that's a telepathic connection that we have that is the type of a personal oracle that keeps us from having an accident, and that also then illuminates that interconnection. Another one that most of us have experienced, I would guess, is you're online, you're picking up your emails, or you're around in your room and you have your computer on, and you hear that ping, and you go and you look and see what that email is, and it's from the person that you were just thinking about, or a telephone call from someone that you were thinking about. You pick up the phone and the person is on the line. That's the link that we're talking about, and that's the link that is revealed to us through personal oracle messages.
Well,
I just lost you. Do you still have me?
Hello, Anne.
Yes, I just got you back. I lost you for a
minute. Alrighty. Yeah, I don't know. Blog Talk just blacked out my my switchboard. God bless them.
Oh no.
Thank you, Blog Talk. We appreciate you throwing the twist. You know, they really want me to buy the premium.
Oh no. That's unfair. Are you there? Can you hear me? I'm going to stay on the line.
Well, I don't know, Anne. I don't know what to say about this. But Blog Talk Radio are definitely messing me around. I'm hoping you're back up online with me in a few seconds here. Let's see. There you are. Are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, there you are. One of the, you know, Anne, I tell you, they drive me to drink. I'm telling you, they are driving me to drink. I don't know what happens. It just goes funky, and then I lose you. And
it just goes
I can only assume that they genuinely want me to buy their pay package. I'm not sure. But I have to tell you, and after your last visit, I began looking into the sky and looking around and paying more attention to those oracle signs, or what I presumed were oracle signs. And I was amazed. I was amazed at the shapes and the faces and the items I saw in the clouds. However, when I pointed it out to my friends and others, I think they thought I was smoking something because they didn't see it. Now, is this a common occurrence?
Well, I think that's part of the whole setup of personal oracles, because personal oracles are just that, they're personal, and they resonate individually with us. And that doesn't mean that the whatever the image is or whatever the occurrence is, you know, it could be a dream or something in nature. But going back to the clouds, if you see an image in the clouds that has significance to you, it's probably resonating a message to you. And something that people could check if they want to see an example of just what you're talking about, on my website, www.oraclesinthesky.com, the home page has a picture of a cloud image, and it looks like a face, and to me it's a heart. And the story that goes with that is very significant to me. I was driving along, my husband and I were traveling from New Mexico to Arizona, and I always send this little message for safe journey, just a little quick prayer as we take off on a journey, and don't think any more about it. And so we were driving along, and straight ahead of us in the above the road, there was this image of a heart-shaped cloud. And at the same time I noticed that, I started to feel all this protection around me, and I felt, you know, that I was being incredibly protected, and it was connected to this cloud. And so I watched this, and I was just mesmerized, and it lasted forever, at least 20 minutes. And so I travel with, and I recommend this to not traveling in the car with it, but keeping a camera close by. I had a camera on the seat beside me, and we were on a two-lane road, and I found a place where I could take a photograph of this. And I took a photograph of it and kept it and thought, I feel so protected. I may never know what this was protecting me from, but I felt confident that this was a real message of protection. And within the hour, I heard this loud pop, and I saw that the right back tire on my husband's car in front of me had blown out, and he pulled over to the side of the road. And now I'm seeing what was going to occur, and that we were making our way safely through it. So we pulled over, and I jumped out, and I said, Kenneth, look, what did you think of that cloud? Wasn't that amazing? And he said, what cloud? So I share that story not to say that my husband is not intuitive or that he doesn't get his own personal oracles. He does. He's at least as intuitive as I am or more. But it was my personal oracle. Plus, he was also focused on something else when he was driving.
Yeah.
So that is kind of a living example of what you were talking about.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer that intuition, or gut instinct, is more than just a feeling. And when we decode it, for the lack of a better word, I guess, the information I found is very powerful, and it's become a daily tool in my business affairs, I must tell you. Are there any special methods one can use to further tune in those intuitive feelings?
Well, there are. I have come up with some ideas that I think really work. And I think the very first thing is to set your intention, set a conscious intention that you want to do this, and recognize, as you were saying, that intuition is your key. And then, as I said earlier, if you have a camera close by, if you like to draw, if something happens and you draw it, or if you want to designate a journal, in my workshops that I give away journals, and I recommend that people just get a little spiral notebook or something like that, write down something that happens that seems to have some real significance to it. And then you'll just, you know, maybe even I know people that leave spaces between. You'll write or leave, you know, six spaces underneath something that happens so that you can fill in more. And then I love to see for the journal challenge, there's the sticker note shoebox method, which is, you know, who is disciplined enough to always write in a journal? Write it on a little scrap piece of paper, but put it in the same place all the time. And you build your body of your own proof to yourself of how you are connected to the universe and how the universe is connecting with you. So those are really good things, and I'll go ahead and I've got a list here. I'm going to be sure that I've given you the real key ones, because I think intention is the key. Intuition is what we rely on, as you were saying, to decode these or to speak the language that the universe is speaking to us in. So tune into that intuition. I'm going to put a little alert out there, too. If you've ever tried to meditate, and your mind goes, think about this, do this, blah, 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 blah. And so your mind then kind of gets in. So when your intuition gives you a hit that says, ooh, look at that, you know, like let's take the cloud example. Oh, my goodness, I felt this feeling. Look, I see this image. The mind can come in and go, well, that's all your imagination. I suggest at that point, your mind is a wonderful tool, but that's what it is. Just don't let it be in charge. And you just say, you know, you do such a good work. Just kind of hang over here for a while and go back to what your first intuition was. And, you know, write that down. Pay attention to that. Also know that it's going to come from all kinds of different senses. You know, sometimes it's going to be an intuition. Sometimes some people are tactile. Some people are auditory. You know, like we were saying, the visual of the cloud, and also the intuition or the sensation of being protected, that all combined. So learn what you pay, if you're really getting into this, what is your language that speaks to you? You know, what are you? Are you tactile? Are you intuitive? You know, just the intuitive gut feeling that some people talk about.
Yeah, I live with my gut feeling, but I'm also very visual, and I have noticed, as I said, since our last conversation, I've paid attention to my surroundings, and I can visualize, I can see a heck of a lot more now than I did prior to the previous show, so I'm very thankful for that, because so far I haven't been wrong.
Simple. I think that's what's so exciting about this whole thing. You know, life can be that simple for us when we really just tune in like you are doing. It is, it's not complex. You don't have to study for years and years to do it. You just have to, like you were doing, trust that knowing that you've got.
Yeah. I read recently an article you wrote on the Blend Network Radio.
Yeah,
it was an article written by you, and you stated that personal oracles are timely messages that pop up like spirit signposts to offer guidance and support just when you need them most. During turbulent personal times, tends to magnify the messages. Boy, did you hit that one on the head?
Well, thank you, and that's just, you know, that's what they're doing, you know. And I think that we're talking about clouds because I love clouds. They're easy as children. We've all looked at clouds. But my husband is English, and so we were over in London, and I'm going to refer you. In fact, I'm in my office, and I have some things that I've printed up. And back to the Big Blend, if you log on to Big Blend, where I have a monthly column, right now I have four that you can archive. The one of them, I think this is the month before last, it's Looking for Miracles. And you'll see the photo there of a heart on a sidewalk. Well, that's in London, and that is near the Thames in a very busy part of London. And we were walking. So I've got some points in here I would like you to watch for. One of them is you don't have to be all alone. You can be in the middle of a lot of people. You can even have a lot on your mind and a lot of responsibilities. And all you have to do is be alert. And we were walking along. It had just stopped raining, and you probably can guess that I have my camera with me a lot of the time. And so we were walking along, and my attention was drawn. This is a whole personal oracle, gut feeling, intuition thing. Look down at the sidewalk, and there is this magnificent heart. And I, you know, was in, what it was is made of is as the it rained and as it started to dry up, the water evaporated off of the sidewalk around a little, like a little twig. And the twig looks to some people like an angel with her arms outstretched. So that it, and you can see this picture online, and it, you know, I took the picture, and it meant so much to me for years just because of we were there for a family wedding, and it seemed to be a very significant heart. And I've used that in different groups. And one woman who was going through some serious personal problems, I gave her this image, and she placed it by her bedside in a frame. And she saw that as herself and her inner strength. Supported the heart. This is what I understood her to tell me. The heart represented the universal force around her, and with her arms outstretched, and it was giving her that strength. So, when we share, I'd like to encourage us to share when it feels appropriate to share with other people, because you may have something that has happened to you that someone else really needs to hear. That will, like this image. Be significant to them and be a totally different message for them.
Yeah, I can see how we could be the conduit to an information for them because they're either incapable or haven't really opened up enough to it themselves.
Or like you were saying, people thinking that you were smoking something. You know,
oh, yeah.
You have to be ready. When you know, if you start to share this, I'd also encourage you to trust your intuition there and pay attention to who you share it with, because you also don't want to. I mean, it's fun to play with people. My husband loves to tease me about things that I see, but he sees as much as I do. Like I saw something once. He went, I'd be real careful who I share that with. You know, that's
right.
A different
yeah.
way of playing. I think when. You don't want to share it with someone who is going to cast doubt in your own heart. So I think that it's good to know that you are going to come up to people that go, oh, right. You know, and I've got a lot of friends that I have friends from all different parts of the world, and not geographically, but different walks of life. And some are very much into the spirit. And others kind of, if I start to share something, I've learned to kind of tone it down with them. They just kind of, you almost see their eyes roll back in the back of their head, you know. So know, you know, it's good to kind of know who to share it with. And then we all reinforce each other.
True. I have, see, there we go again. Blog Talk did it to me again. I can see that they knocked out my... Yeah, they knocked out my switchboard. I mean, this is insane. But that's okay. We'll just keep plodding along. You stated a number of times throughout the Blog Talk appearances that these mysterious messages come in every form imaginable and are tailor-made for the individual. Do you think this is a universal energy that has existed forever? Is that possible?
I really do. I think that it's always been there, and I think that, you know, we just open up to it. I think that we're living in a time where it's easier to open to it, you know, but I do believe, just personally, I believe this is an energy that has always been there, and I think that it's the language of the universe. And so I think as we tune into nature and we tune into the synchronistic things that happen and the dreams that we have that are significant, I think these things have always been there. And now through pop culture, through television shows, through movies, through sharing it with each other, you know, there was a time when witches were burned at the stake. We've come a long way from that. So I think that this is the proper time for us to go ahead and open ourselves up to our, you're really opening to yourself.
Right. One of our guests that comes on periodically, John Hogue from HogueProphecies.com, he has a statement which we use on the show quite regularly, actually, and it's regarding the age of Aquarius. And he said, the next period of time is not about finding out. It's about knowing that we will know those things that have been held from us for so long. And I take one of these, such as oracles in the sky, information to us. I take that as part of the knowing. I think we are opening up metaphysically, spiritually, and I think we're going to see and accept a heck of a lot more than we would have done 5 years ago.
Well, I totally agree, and I would further suggest that 21st science is now validating certain things that before were just, you know, I have friends, they call it woo-woo, you know, things that there never was any explanation for. And you look at the different things that are being quantified now, the string theory of physics is exactly what this link is, that we are able to see through personal oracles. So I think that the scientific community, not all of the scientific community, but I'll throw out some names like Greg Braden, who I don't know if you know that person, but he's got a lot of books out, and he's a scientist, and you know, he looks at things spiritually and scientifically and helps bridge that. And there are a lot of people working with our holographic universe, so that when you start to recognize the world as a holographic universe that is mirroring back all these prisms, it gives the people that relate through their scientific mind a way to go into it and feel safe. There are those of us that don't have to have the scientific explanation. I love Joseph Campbell, who said in an interview with Bill Moyer said, "Oh, I know you're a man of faith." And Joseph Campbell said, "I'm not a man of faith. I'm a man of experience." And he went on to say that faith gets you to a certain place where you've had experience. So I think that what we're talking about tonight is having the faith to look to that they will be there, and then you see all these personal oracles that are surrounding you, supporting you, feeding you information all the time, keeping you safe, and making you realize you're connected. Then you get your body of experience. So you still have the faith, but you don't rely on the faith. You have the experience.
Yeah, I wonder if with the amount of electronics and signals that we send out second by second around the world, I wonder if that clouds the ability. I think to myself, if we could go back to, you know, 1500, for instance, with the lack of electronic signals, I wonder if we would be more in tune with this or not.
Well, yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying there, because I think when I get in a very dense population, I believe that we humans, just by our sheer mass, contaminate things, forgetting even all the signals that we're sending out. But I'd also like to suggest that personal oracles will speak through different energy frequencies. And, you know, if you'd like me to share a couple of stories, I can't remember, I don't think I shared this last time, about the woman who had a friend who had been injured in a bicycle accident, and he was in a coma, and he had been in the hospital for at least a month. And she had been going to the hospital and spending time with him, putting lotion on his body, singing to him, treating him like he could hear her, and playing music. And they had a special song. And so she went one day, as she always did, and they said, you know, he's in surgery right now. They're trying to do some things to help him breathe more freely. And she left and went to pick up her children at school. And on the way to pick up the children, she heard their song on the radio. And
Wow. Got
home, and there was a message from the hospital. And she called them back, and they said, "We just wanted you to know that your friend passed." And she said, "Did he pass at whatever time? I don't remember without looking at my notes, but did he pass at, say, 2:35? And they said, "How did you know?" And she said, "He told me on a song on the radio."
Impressive. I do not believe in coincidence.
I don't.
I think, you know, it's just too much of a random possibility. I believe everything has its point and everything has its place. I tell you what, Anne, we're going to do a quick break.
Perfect.
We'll do a regrouping here and a bathroom break for those that are all listening live. And we'll be back in about 2 minutes. Hang in there, everybody.
Anne Bollinger McQuaid, Cloudspeak, Oracles in the Sky. Next, you are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Time for you to recharge your glasses, a washroom break, or whatever is required. We'll be right back.
Lines are open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVMTOR.
Welcome to the shadows
of the Night Zone.
We all have busy lives, and sometimes we just can't get to the computer when we want to. Sometimes programs schedule at a time and a place and event when we just can't be there. But never fear, Blog Talk Radio have figured an answer. Yep, you can go to any of your favorite radio shows on blogtalkradio.com and download their archives or their player, and voila, you have access to your favorite shows. It's as easy as that.
2012 is speculated to be the end of the world based on the Mayan calendar and other sources. If you are worried or unsure about it, then some uncommon sense, along with a literal Bible prophecy breakthrough, may help. With Tim McHyde in the Night Zone, watch for the listings.
Welcome to the shadows
of the Night Zone. Phone lines are open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And we are back with Andrew McQuaid, Oracles in the Sky. So, Anne, do oracles appear more for religious believers, or can New Age spiritualists or even atheists and the like access the oracle energy?
I believe that personal oracles are accessed by everybody that tunes into them and opens their heart to them, and I think they have... they might be interpreted through a religion. You know, someone might, if they say, if you were raised Catholic, you might see your personal oracles that way. If you are atheistic, you would see your personal oracles that way. But I see them as separate but connected, if that makes any sense at all. I think personal oracles are all-encompassing rather than divisive, you know. So I think I think that they come to all of us if we just pay attention.
Right, and paying attention is what it's all about, really.
Exactly.
Can you give our audience a few examples of oracles that you have recognized in your own world?
Well, and I'll tell you some that one of them is just an everyday personal oracle that is a clouds. Again, I look at clouds a lot, and if I see image of a laughing face, it'll remind me to just lighten up. Or if I'm worried about something, it takes it off of me. So that's just my own personal interpretation. So that's the kind of an oracle that mirrors something back to me. A totally different type, and I'm going to stick with clouds here, but please don't get stuck, not you, Colin, but the audience, don't get stuck with the idea of them only being in clouds. I'm only going to use clouds as examples, because they're easy for me to explain to you, and because they might be easy for you to access. But so, you know, by showing you that one that is the scene and image that is the shape of a laughing face is mirroring of a personal oracle back to me. Personal oracles also can also be conduits to spirit, so that my father, who died in... his physical body died in 97. I connect with him very frequently with his energy in cloud form. And in my book, which isn't out yet, but when it's out, the very last page in the epilogue section is his picture in real life where he was in his body. And 10 years after he died, image of him in the sky in a cloud that I've yet to share it with anyone who hasn't been totally struck by the exact similarity of the face, and it was one that I took because I could feel him and I didn't focus on it. So you can I get personal oracles, and that meaning of the personal oracles will have a meaning with them. So the meaning of having my father connect, sometimes the message I'm getting from him is that he's very proud and he's with me, and he and I always wanted to write a book together when he was in his body, and the way that he has worked with me in this is so far beyond anything that he and I ever could have put together when he was still in physical form. So I will have him see a cloud image of him and feel his presence on his birthday one time. And it was the image that I saw there was the very similar but with a Native American headdress, and he had a heart on his cheek. And I, again, fortunately have photos, so I'd like to recommend that if this intrigues you at all, to try to take photos. I don't do orbs, but I haven't had any orbs up here in mine. But you probably all, if you're listening to this, know about orbs. A lot of things are going to show up in photos that will be personal oracle related and have significant meaning for you as far as this larger world that we're really living in and blocking a lot of it out.
Yeah.
So those are some that have occurred for me. I've got some, you know, one I would love to share about a dream. Did we talk about the little boy that had the dream last time?
No, we did not. No, we didn't get into too many of the specific information. So
well,
I'd love
to give some examples that weren't necessarily mine but have been shared. And this is what I'm inviting all of you to do, too, is share your experiences with me so I can share them with others. But this is a profound dream that this little boy had. He's four, and he woke up just screaming, and his parents went into the room, and he was screaming, "My daddy's dead, daddy's dead," and his daddy was right there, and they took him, and they put him back in bed with them, and they tried to console him, and he just could not be consoled, and so they kept him in bed with them, and there are five children in the family, and so the mother said, "Okay, I will take the others and get them off to school," and the father said, "I will cancel my meeting, and I will take him into the daycare center and or preschool and tell him what happened." So called the office, said, "I'm going to be in a little bit late, but I will be in," and went to the teacher and talked to the teacher and got the little boy as settled as they possibly could, and he got in his car, and his cell phone was ringing, and he thought it was going to be his office, you know, saying, "Hey, where are you, and when can we expect you?" And it was his wife, and she was saying, "Don't go into New York City. An airplane has flown into the Twin Towers," and that is where he was headed. He was headed for his meeting. Now, I love this story because there's everything right about this story. The parents treated this child with the nurturing that we all deserve and want to give, and the father prioritized what was really important, and the payoff was amazing. And I don't really go into analyze it in any farther. Any of you can go ahead and analyze it. But that is, to me, a profound example of how dreams can also be personal oracles for us that show us this larger connection, this fourth dimension, that, you know, something that is going to you know, that is out there, that we think of time as linear, and it isn't. It's all happening. I can't quite get here, but I know it to be true that everything is happening now. So it's all, you know, things can morph in and out. So I think things like that can help make us feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So paying attention to your dreams. And I have another dream that's much more lighthearted than that. That was from a woman who kept having this reoccurring dream of a flat tire. And we were talking one day, and she just kept saying, "I know there's significance in the." And I just keep having these dreams of having a flat tire. She even had a flat tire in her real everyday life. And as we were talking, she went, "Oh, my, I just realized it's a personal oracle that's telling me that she had just had a little baby girl, and she was totally exhausted. And she realized that the dream was telling her she was flat tired. And that made her give herself a little bit more leeway and realize that she needed to rest a little bit more and take care of herself." So that interpretation of the dream for her was a wonderful personal oracle for her to say, hey, you have every right to be flat tired. Take care of yourself.
Mm.
So a personal,
go ahead.
Personal oracles will come in every form imaginable. No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to mention that your awareness of the world as alive and interconnected is obviously seated in your Native American ancestry, but it seemed to me that what I picked up from the last meeting we had, it was the fear of your mortality that actually triggered the ability to see your oracles. Why do you think it would take a traumatic experience such as that to trigger these ancient abilities?
Well, I think that probably just like all of us, I wasn't paying attention. You know, what happened with I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I thought I wasn't, I was afraid to die as anybody. I was horrified. But I also looked at that and I realized that was a fear of mine. And then I watched the universe, and this is the heart of the book. The book is a how-to book, but the heart of the book is this story of the Invisible Moon Sidewalk, in which the universe showed me that life continues after we move out of our body. And so what happened for me was it was so profound. This Invisible Moving Sidewalk was so profound to me that I was certainly seeing these things before, but I was not understanding the importance of them or the enormity of them and simplicity of them, and how, like Joseph Campbell talks about, how we're being helped by hidden hands. You know, I might have seen it occasionally, you know, where we had these synchronicities. But then I watched this happen over a period of, 12 years probably, and I watched this go on, and I realized there's purpose behind things. And there's the language that the universe is speaking, and it's ours to interpret in our own way. And right now, I would love to read the old Apache storyteller. Can I do that?
Absolutely. I love the story. The first time you can most certainly read it.
Isn't that the best? It's a quote that I love, and it's the plants, trees, clouds, rocks, fire, water are all alive. They watch us and see our needs. They see when we have nothing to protect us, and it is then that they reveal themselves and speak to us. And, you know, when I read that the first time, I can't really now even remember where I stumbled across it. And I really realized, you know, once you are alerted to the fact that the universe is going to support you in all these ways, then you can start looking in all those directions and see if there are messages for you there.
Yeah, I definitely feel it and sense that. As I mentioned on the last show, I really looked into a great deal of American Indian folklore and the likes, and the idea that everything has a Manitou, has a spirit.
Yeah.
And it does seem to ring true. It definitely seems to be a possibility.
Well, and what's so exciting to me is we are our own detective. We are our own... We are our own judge and jury and everything. We decide what is and isn't a personal oracle to us. And I think the power in that is amazing, because we can prove it out to ourselves however we need to, as we talked earlier about writing these things down and then looking at them later. You might write something down that happened to you that didn't make any sense at first when you wrote it down. You knew it was... It had, like, let's use the flat tire dream as an example. She was having this, and she knew there was significance to it, but she couldn't figure it out. So when we start to write these things down, then we piece them together, which is, you see a larger puzzle, you know, pieces of the puzzle that create the whole picture start to fall into place. And it just is, you're living in a different world, I think, when you start to recognize that. And I got an email today from a woman who has been working with all of this for a few years and contacts me periodically. And she, like you were saying, is really trusting her intuition. And she emailed to say that Thursday, I guess, of last week, she was, again, a lot of young mothers out there, she was taking her children to school, and had a really strong sense to contact a friend, and she had just spoken to her the previous week, and they live on different in different parts of the world, but she called her, and her friend had just found out that her father had died. Now, that's beautiful that she paid attention to that intuition instead of just either being too busy or thinking, well, I just talked to her. So she's someone who has started paying enough attention to her intuition that she's really trusting it, that there's a reason for this gut feeling that, some people refer to.
True. And I'm sure there are those in our audience who are in the process of making some serious life-changing decisions, either love, life, health, etc. How can they tune into their oracles? What would be the easiest method for them to allow themselves to see what's around them?
Well, you know, I think that I personally think spontaneous oracles are fun, but I think a really good way, if you're in a situation like that, is find out where you would think about where you would like to have support, and then ask for that support, and ask for something to come to you that's very clear to you. Ask for a direction that you need to move. You know, there are lots of tried and true ways that people have used forever. Open a book. Take a book, open it to a passage, and see if that passage says something in particular to you. A lot of people do this with the Bible or random books. That's one way that is very straightforward that you can look at. Another way is to ask Spirit for a sign, or the God of your knowing, whatever your faith is, nature, to show you a sign. Animals, if you are at all tuned into animals, this is something that you might want to investigate. There are books out. My favorite one is Ted Andrews' Animal Speak, and he has compiled a beautiful book that tells you what the symbolic energy is that surrounds different animals, like owls. An owl to Native Americans is a sign of death. In a lot of other cultures, it's a sign of wisdom. If you see an owl, when I see an owl, I'm not saying I could never connect it as a sign of death, but my interpretation of it is wisdom. So I have an owl outside that a lot of times I'll hear it, and that just makes me feel Spirit's presence. If you have an animal that you keep seeing around you, and you have this sense of resonance in you that this has some meaning for you, Google that. And if you don't want to buy the book, get online and Google that animal, and you know, put in the animal and put symbolic meaning or something like that in it. So there are all kinds of ways that you can find guidance. But I think if you're going through something specific, ask for guidance on that. You know, show me a sign. Could be in the crowd. You know, cleanings are, if you're standing in, say, in a grocery line, and have you ever been standing there and all of a sudden you heard something from somebody, you know, just one line from somebody in another line speaking to someone else, could be the message for you. That's a very common way to get messages from Spirit.
Now, I think this would be a good time to mention that oracles are non-denominational. It doesn't matter what your religion is. It is not a religion. It is not a... You know, it's not a signal from a god. It is a universal power that is in tune with you, correct?
That's how I interpret it. And I like to call it divine source, because to me there is this magnificence. You know, it is the ultimate. To me, it springs from the source of all creation. However that all creation makes sense to you, whether it's the Big Bang Theory or whether it's something the Native Americans call the Great Mystery. But I think that it is not limited to religions. If you want to frame it through your religion, that's your own personal interpretation. But personal oracles will speak to everyone, irregardless of whether they are or are not religious.
Right. Question coming out of our virtual studio. What does a white owl looking in your house mean? Does that have any significance?
Ooh, how interesting is that? Well, owl, would be what we were. That's interesting that she says that, or he, whoever said that, that they're talking about the owl wisdom. So I would first of all, my first place that I would go with that, and I would open up. I do have animals speak by me, but I'm not sure that I can get to that fast enough. White is the light energy classes that I have taken. White is the light energy that surrounds us that is the most pure. So if I were going to, and again, I'm not going to make the mistake of trying to interpret it for anyone, but I will share some thoughts on it for that person to seed the thoughts of that person's own personal interpretation, see if it feels right to them. But could be wisdom, could be pure wisdom looking into your house, could be pure, ancient wisdom looking into your house. That would be something that I, if I were them, I would really pursue that. That feels really positive to me. How does it feel to you, Colin?
Yeah, I'm feeling that it's something of wisdom, definitely, especially a white out.
Why would that be? Like, if it happened to me, I think it would be a tremendous blessing.
Yeah, I think so too. On our last show, you mentioned that the design of this interconnected world is tailored specifically to each person and their changing needs in every moment of their life. Now, after you said that, I was doing some research on another matter, and I found that statement was so much in agreement with the Hopi Indian belief, the Mayan philosophy. It was so close that it was almost a little, a little eerie that you would have hit it that tight. Do oracles offer future vision, or are oracles concentrated on present crisis or present issues?
Well, see, I don't believe there's any limit. I do not place any limitations on personal oracles. I believe that if the information that you need to have as your guidance or your support, or that you are seeking for guidance or support or some other reason, I do not see a limitation there. I think that this, as we were talking a couple of minutes ago, I think that we think of time as linear, and if time, in fact, is all happening at once, there to me is no reason that you can't get the future information as well as past and current.
Right. And the person in the virtual studio says, "Thank God I have been blessed, as this owl looks in at me often while I work." Apparently this owl is staring down at this person while they're busy working, so I think that must be a good sign, I guess.
That's a beautiful blessing, and if that person wants to give their name, I'd love to use that, just to use that as a beautiful example.
Right. Well, okay, what we will do at the end of, in the next 6 minutes or so, we'll give out your email address or your contact address, and this can give you a buzz and send you an email and kind of flesh out the story. You mentioned in a number of your writings, in your book, especially Cloud Speak Oracles in the Sky, that oracles are constantly appearing to everyone, specifically tailored to our individual needs and our individual messages. Do you think, who do you think controls this oracle information traffic? I can't say religious, but who do you think is sending and controlling all of this information for every single person to get these oracles?
A fun question is that. That's a fun question. Well, yeah, I'd like to go back to if you read any of the first thing that came into my mind, because this is a whole new who's in charge. The Divine Matrix is something that Greg Braden uses to describe this web of life that the Native Americans talk about. And I was raised, I'm now very ecumenical, and I have all faiths really resonate with me, but I was raised that God gave us free will. So to me, in my way of looking, that says that the design was set and it's up and running. So that I don't really see it being controlled by a deity or a thing. I think it's just incredible. It's one of those beautiful mysteries that I think is so big and so wide that, you know, you don't know what that is. You just know it works. You know, these hidden hands that are helping us, these synchronistic events, these coincidences that you were talking about. I don't really believe that we're puppets or being puppeteered. So I think it's this divine mystery that we're in.
It's part of the system of the metaphysics and the universal code of Earth, and always being there, always will be there, and functions autonomously. How's that?
Oh, that's perfect. I wish I could have written that down really fast. That autonomously is really right. I think it does. It runs with us or without us. If we tune in, we tune in. If we don't, we don't. But it's moving around us all the time.
I'm just curious, it really got nothing to do with the show, Anne, but do you feel your dear friend from New Mexico, Deer Track, do you feel him with you very much?
Interestingly enough, I feel him with me more when I'm in New Mexico. But interestingly enough, I have been talking about him for the last couple of weeks to different people about different things. So, I feel his presence more there. But I feel his impact in my life. But do I? If you're asking if I feel him around me as much as I feel my father, no, I don't. I don't feel his presence as much as, and not to say he's not there, but to say that I'm not as tuned into that, I guess, as maybe I am to my father.
Excellent answer to the question, that's for sure. As we get to the end of the show, Anne, do you do any one-on-one teachings or group teachings to show people how to move to the oracles or spirit guides? Do you do any of that?
I do workshops and I do seminars, but I am not a I've been asked if I'm a psychic, and I don't have anybody else's answers, but I will if someone. Would like to, well, first off, if you get on Big Blend magazine, I am, the articles that I'm writing monthly there, I have put those, and I've got a lot of them already written that aren't on yet, I'm putting them together as a how-to. The book is basically how-to around, as I said, the heart of the story that made me realize that or personal oracles were all around us, and name them that so we could then start to discuss what this was. But no, I am not a personal counselor, if that's
okay.
What you're
saying. Exactly.
They could email me. If somebody has an answer, a question for me that they would like to email me, or if they have stories they would love to share, I can work that way.
So what is the best way to contact you then?
The best way probably to contact me, I'm having a little trouble getting the messages through my website. I'd love for you to still get on. But I set up a new, just last week, I set up a new email account, and it's Personal Oracles for Anne, and it's the number 4. So it's PersonalOracles Oracles 4, the number 4, Anne, all small case, @me.com.
Excellent. And we've hit the top of the hour. God bless you. Blessings on your household.
Thank
I appreciate you being here tonight.
Thank you so much, Colin.
You take care of yourself, okay? Thank you very much,
Anne. Bye-bye.
Okay. Blessings on your household, my dear. That's it. That's all. I can't believe we banged through an hour after all of that trouble that Blog Talk gave me. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you again next week. Hey, Night Zoners, got a minute? I'm sure we all know someone who is experiencing difficult times during this recession, either with unemployment or financial problems, or in relationships. I have friends like that. I would like to remind you that we are all in this together. So if you have friends experiencing hardships, support them with your advice. If you have acquaintances who are having rough times, nurture them with your friendship. Show them kindness. If you have family members who are having difficulties, show them your love. And if you have people in your life who have almost given up, throw them a lifeline of kindness. Remember the golden rule, but for the grace of God, go I. Blessings upon your household. Until then, next time we meet.
This has been a Night Zone production in association with BlogTalkRadio.com.